Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 297. The show where we talk computer repair technology, and we usually get a computer repair technician to come on the show and share his tips and tricks and stories with you guys, and hopefully make you guys better technicians as well. And we're going to do that today with an extra special bonus, because we have Mike Motto on today from MFLSTCComputer.com. I got that right, didn't I?
Yep.
And sure the special treat is he went to CES, and he's going to share some stuff with us, which some actually kind of cool stuff with a twist. You've probably heard all the tech stuff before, but we're going to go over some other stuff that went on at CES, and I'm actually anxious to hear that as well. So, Mike, thanks for coming on the show, first of all. How you doing?
No problem. My pleasure. Doing great.
Okay, good. Well, like I said, let's go over a little bit of your history. You have been on the show a couple times before. You live in Pennsylvania?
That is correct.
Where in Pennsylvania? Mid-state?
It's they call it set. I guess like central Pennsylvania. I'm not quite east. It's Bloomsburg area. I'm from Philadelphia, from where you were. I'm probably about a 2 mile drive.
2 mile drive from Philly?
I'm sorry, 2 hour.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hey, you missed a T in my name.
Oh gosh, I can never get that right. All right. Well,
that's okay.
No, I'm going to fix it now, but why don't you start us off with some of the notes you prepared, and let's just get it on here.
All right. Well, the first thing that I'd actually like to say was last time when I was on, I was doing it from my house, and I went through the story with the Cradle Point router and using my BlackBerry and all this.
Right.
Well, actually, where I'm doing it from right now is my mom's basement, and I really feel like I should be doing an episode of Wayne's World.
I'm thinking, where is he, in an attic? It looks like a mom's basement.
It's mom's basement.
That's great. Yeah. Hey,
I got to go where I have the internet speed. What can I say? You know?
What does she have? Comcast?
No, actually, it's just the lowest speed Verizon.
DSL?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, and actually, I have it here because I work on my computers out here once in a while just because of my limited bandwidth at home, so...
You got to do it. Got to do it. Yeah. You got to go where the bandwidth is. You know what? I can't imagine living without Fios these days. I mean,
with the Verizon, I have 5 gigabytes that I'm allowed with the tethering plan, and I actually burned. It started the 25th of January is when it reset to zero. I repaired some computers, did updates and stuff like that. By February 2nd, I had used 90%.
Really?
So, yeah. So now I have to wait till the 25th. I have no bandwidth with that. So I'm using the Android with PDA net and all that. So.
I don't know how you do it, man. Well, I mean, thank goodness for Android PDF. That'll help you out. Yeah. I mean, a PDA net.
Yeah.
I missed the good old days of PDA net. I'm doing wireless wonky, crashy tethering. That's what I use now.
I am doing the wireless also, and I do it with Barnacle. And part of the problem with that is I have crashes. It'll work. It won't load pages. You got to reload them. So
yeah, but mine just loses the signal. It just stops working. But I use wireless tether. I got to try Barnacle. Maybe I'll get some other results.
Wireless tether won't work with my particular phone. So I tried it.
You need root or just?
Nope, I have root, but I forget exactly what it says, but it needs something else that mine doesn't have, and I forget exactly what it does say, but it says it won't work, and it doesn't.
Gotcha.
So
that sucks. All right.
Okay. Anyhow, now that you know, I'm coming live from mom's basement.
Nice.
A little bit about CES. I had been there 2 years previous, and this time I had press credentials. Thank you to podnuts.com, and thank you to Steve. I actually had the press credentials, and I could get in as a member of the press.
Can I say something before you continue, Mike?
Sure.
I feel bad because I was supposed to go to CES, and I kind of chickened out. So that we were going to go together. So public apology to Mike for leaving him, you know, on his own there. But you had the press credentials, so.
My gain, your loss. What can I say?
Yes. You know? Sorry. Yeah, right. You're by the end of the show, I'm sure I'm going to be the one that feels like crap. I already do. But go ahead. Continue. Continue.
No problem. I was going either way.
Right.
So it did. But it was really neat to have the press credentials. And one of the first things that happened was when I actually got there and I went to get my press credentials, I think you and I had emailed back and forth a little bit, and they told me once you did it, one of the credentials you needed was to show that you were on, that you had did something like journalistic or a blog or something. Well, what I did was I sent in the link to one of my podcasts that I had done for Podnuts.
Right.
And they said that was acceptable. So my understanding was, since you did it for press, all you needed was verification of who you were when you got there to pick up your badge. But when I got there to pick up my badge, she says to me, I had just gotten off the airplane. You can do it at the airport in Las Vegas. I get off and I said to her, I said, okay, I said, I'm so-and-so and I'd like this. And she goes, where's your second form of identification? I said, I don't have any. She says, I need a business card from Podnuts or something like that. So my phone was on during the flight. I honestly didn't know it. Mom has an old ringer phone too. You can probably tell that.
What is it? Every time you say the word phone, her phone rings?
I don't know what it did. She has one of the old rotary dial.
Nice.
Sorry.
Good for Mom.
Sorry about that.
No, that's classic. I like that.
But anyhow, so I get there and I didn't know it, but my phone was on the whole flight. So my battery's almost dead. And I said to her, how about if I show you the website where I was on? So I'm there and I'm trying to bring up the website. There's a line growing behind me to find the exact one that I was on so I could show her.
Oh, man.
And eventually I found it and, you know, I got my press credentials, which was great.
You showed her the page of your show?
Yep, I had to actually bring up the web on my Android phone, show her my name on that page, and that was me that actually did the podcast.
Oh, man. Good thinking. So, you got through.
Well, yeah. Well, and the thing was, I actually was thinking, if I don't get, I had the backup because I still had them from the company, but I'm thinking if I go through all this and I don't have the press credentials, this is just going to really, you know, stink. Yeah, but anyhow, yeah. So I got through that. Okay. So then when you got to CES, they actually, for the press, they have, if you get there early enough, they have a meal for the press every day, at CES, which is really nice because stuff's expensive there. It's a little box lunch, you know, it's nothing great, but it was still pretty cool that they gave this to you. And I'm going to turn away. I hate to turn away my back to the camera, but I have to show you this because I hopefully this makes you jealous. I'll try and get it in there. But also for the press, a CES press bag.
Damn. Uh-oh, I'm
nice,
jealous.
Nice. Well, you know, I was thinking of sending it to you. But
no,
I thought,
no. It's yours.
Well, no, I went. No, uh-uh. I went. You didn't. So
exactly. I would have.
Sorry, Steve. I got to rub it in a little bit.
You should. I would have sent it back to you anyway.
But well, anyhow,
that's awesome.
So you know that was pretty cool, and it has the CES logo on it.
Nice.
So anyhow, that was one of the things. Now, I had told you. When I got there, I had never been pressed before, so I didn't really know what to expect and how to do it. But one of the cool things about being pressed, and I didn't know this, I actually got in Tuesday, I think.
Right.
Because I was planning on staying for a while. CES didn't start till Wednesday. I'm sorry, Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The press could actually start getting in and getting into events on Monday.
Right.
So you can get into the events and stuff earlier, and also when you can all, the show doesn't open till like 9:30 in the morning. With press credentials, you can get in beforehand, and I didn't really know that. You could actually get in beforehand and go in there and look at stuff when the whole crowd wasn't there.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. And talk to people, because you know the vendors and stuff are setting up their booths and so on and so forth at that point, so you're able to talk to them.
So you could have been there on Monday looking around, or even on Tuesday looking around, both?
Well, they're only setting up, you know, like they're right. Only setting up. But my understanding is like Wednesday, they did have pre-events. And for the press, they also have, and you have to look at the thing, some of them are invite only, but there's other ones that you can actually, everyone's invited to, with, you know, just small parties and small get-togethers where you can, you know, hang with the other people, the other press people.
Right.
Which of course, you know, includes like Leo Laporte, Roger Chang,
Burlow.
Who?
You told me before this joke, Chris Perillo.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. Yes. All Chris right. Perillo. You know, Patrick Norton was there and Veronica, I forget what her name is.
Belmont.
Yes. Belmont. You know, like they're at these events and they go to them and they were actually tweeting, you know, when they were at them and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool.
Damn.
So, unfortunately, when this year out of the three that I went was the most crowded.
That's what I heard.
So, yeah. And with saying that is I would have used these press credentials so much more if I would actually realize what all I could do, because when you got on the floor with everyone, the real, you know, like the hot stuff that they were talking about with your, Motorola, I want to say iPads, but your tablets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The newer BlackBerry phone, you couldn't get close to that stuff because it was so crowded and so packed. You know, 3D TV, I'm just trying to think what else there was, but you know, to get in there, it was just,
but how could you get in with the press pass? Cause you're still, even those guys were on the floor, weren't they?
Oh yeah. But when you get, what I'm saying is if you go in early,
oh, to go, you went in early with the press pass. I see.
Right. Right. So, but when you go in with the press pass, you're like anyone else who's there when the door's open. So,
right.
You know, but I'll tell you what, it was impressive too with the press pass. I wore my Podnut shirt, and of course, you know, I had the Podnuts hat on and stuff.
Nice,
and the,
nice.
And the cool thing was when you saw press, and they went, "Oh, you're press, yeah." Oh well, let me show you this. You know, it's like come on over here. Wow, you know, and they would actually talk to you quite a bit and tell you quite a bit because you were press.
That's awesome.
And some of them, you know, some of them asked what Podnuts was, and I was sure to tell them, you know, exactly what you did and you know what it was, which was cool.
Nice. I'm liking this.
So, well, it was fun. And like I said, with the press pass, you could do so much more that I just did not realize. And I wish I would have realized it sooner. But
okay. Well, this is a tip. You know, if anybody wants to go to CES and they've been on an episode of Podnuts, there you go. There's your two forms of identification. So you can go ahead with that. It's fine with me. So,
well, and that's definitely the way to do it. Some of the things that I did get to see on the floor, and you know, most of the people's probably heard about them because there was so many people broadcasting live from there, tweeting from right. there, you know. But some of the things that I thought was pretty cool is, one of the things that I do like doing is I like cruising the back rows. And basically, as you get further to the back, you know, the less popular you are, the less money you've probably paid for your spot because you're sort of like, you know, shoved in the corner.
Yeah.
But to me, what's cool about that is seeing some stuff that people have made or done, and they really think that it's going to sell and it's going to be the next big thing. And most of it, you'll walk by it and shake your head and go like, there's no way.
You know? So you just like, go by for entertainment purposes just to see what kind of trash.
Basically.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And not even that, but like it's also neat because you see this stuff in the back row, and if it does make the market, then you go like, you know what, that is one of those that I thought would go nowhere, and son of a gun, you know, there it is, you know. So and it's not as crowded back there, but it is neat to go back into the back rows and see some of the stuff. One of the things that I actually sent on a Twit picture was, and I thought it was cool, being someone who builds computers. Is the guy had like a totally neon lighted computer, all the stuff inside, neon lights, neon cables. Even the power supply was plexiglass and had neon inside the power supply. Yeah. And stuff like that to me is pretty cool to see. It's different.
Yeah. I was following your Twitter feeds. Did you tweet that? I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was your first one.
It was sort of blurry too. You couldn't really make it out. You couldn't get a good picture of it, but
that's cool.
That was pretty cool. So, you know, and that's why I said you find that stuff in the back aisles, which I think is cool.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Another thing is, that I thought was pretty cool was, that OnStar did their whole OnStar thing now. And before it used to only be in GM vehicles. Now you can actually buy one. And what they did was they mounted it as a rear view mirror. So basically you take your rear view mirror off your car you hang this for your rearview mirror, just like it is on a GM product, and then you can also use OnStar in any vehicle.
That's totally smart.
Yeah. So if you're, you know, if you're into OnStar and you think it's worth the money, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's really smart they did that, because I know I've heard a lot of people say that they wish they had it.
And I think so too. That's why I said it was a long time coming, and I was sort of surprised that, you know, they did think of that, but it was definitely something good to think about.
Cool.
One of the other things was the appliances, Sears, Kenmore, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The appliances that are going to be internet ready or on the internet. You know, it's like if you're at, I don't know quite who would do this or why you would do it, but just say if you weren't home and you put your turkey in the oven when you left to go to work, but you didn't want to turn it on, you could, you know, tell your oven to turn it on at a certain time remotely,
right?
You know, not only with that, but like, you know, self cleaning or stuff like that. And that's one of the things, I don't know if the normal person's really going to need that kind of stuff. I don't know.
I think that stuff's really cool. And I think that they will eventually. It's going to, you know, of course it's going to get to that, because the technology is going to get so cheap that people are just going to want it because their neighbors have it and it's cool. And I think it's cool. I would use it.
Oh, I do too. I think it's really cool. But some of the things it's like I said, you know, you're going to put your turkey in before you leave. I mean, you know, and let it in the oven and then turn it on. It's neat to clean it. Some of the other things though, too, was, you know, if you want to, even like a water heater, if you want to turn it on, if you have like with the peak demand or something like that, you know, and you want to set it up to run at a certain time to heat the water before you get home, you could actually technically have it off if nobody else was home, and then turn it on an hour before you get home to heat up the water, and you're not heating up the water.
Right.
There's stuff like that that it may make sense, but how many people are actually going to use it? I would, you know, I don't know. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I think that stuff's awesome. Home automation stuff. I think the general population will get it and use it eventually. I mean, it's not going to be next year.
And they very well may. You know, I mean, there's definitely a lot of possibilities there. That, you know, the appliances, the OnStar. I'm just trying to think. Like I said, there was so many tablets there to look at, and you have a lot, like the Chinese actually bring in, and there's brands there that you've never even heard of.
Right.
You know, they're trying to break into the market, and they'll give you a lower price and stuff like that. So, you know,
did that stuff look any good, or was it cheap, crappy, chintzy?
It looks cheaper. You know, I mean, it looks cheaper. So, you know, and that's probably why most of them probably won't make it, because it, you know, it is made cheaper. Plus they're trying to break into a market against Motorola, and you know.
Yeah.
So
right now I think it would be tough.
But. Yeah, I think so too. But
that's neat.
That's, you know, and that was sort of the whole experience. I don't know if you have any other questions about it, or, you know, like what anything.
I watched the whole thing from Twit. So I think I got all the main gadgets they went over. I like hearing the behind the scenes press pass stuff. That's what's cool though. No, I'm good.
That was definitely cool. I mean, you know, and if you don't mind, and what you said, if anybody's going and they've done a show, definitely get the press pass. Look online at CES what the press can do and when they can do it. Oh, and the other thing was, like I said, you can get, you know, it was so cool. You can get in before the show starts, but the neat thing is, you know, you have the press pass. You just like, you know, they're kicking other people out. You like just flash this press pass.
Hey.
Like, oh yeah, go in, go. Thanks. And like almost every time that happened, I went like, thanks, Steve. That was cool.
You know, that was just, I am glad, man. That's so awesome.
Yep.
You were like the on-scene reporter for Podnuts. We needed to have that.
I tried to do more, and I wanted to get in to see some of the tablets and stuff like that. But like I said,
you there?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
I am.
What happened?
Okay, screensaver came on. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. I thought there was an earthquake or something. I saw the camera shaking.
It, Well, it went black, and I wasn't sure what happened. I'm like, oh no, don't tell me. But no, yeah. I that should be good. That's all it was.
Cool.
So anyhow, it was pretty neat. It's definitely neat to see, and it's neat to go to.
Nice. So. Thanks for the report.
Yep. No problem. I enjoyed doing it. I really enjoy going out there.
I know.
If you want to, I can go on to some of the computer stuff.
Let's
that I've been
do
dealing
it.
With.
Absolutely.
One of the ones that I just had. And
oh, wait.
I had some-
Sorry. Let me just ask Jerry's question before we move on, because he did ask it. And where is it? Oh, is the Crazy Horse Saloon still there?
In Vegas?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I went to Hogs and Heifers, and I had one heck of a time there.
Hogs and Heifers, that sounds awesome.
Hogs and Heifers, a biker bar where they actually dance on the bar just like Coyote Ugly.
Okay.
Bartenders get up there and dance, so that was pretty cool. But,
sweet.
I don't know about Crazy Horse. I didn't see that one.
Okay. All right.
So,
all right, over back to computer stuff.
Okay. One of the jobs that I had, and I had worked on one like this previously, but things just didn't add up. I had a computer that it kept giving the master boot record error.
Right.
When the computer went to boot up.
Right.
And it said it, and I didn't write it down, and I don't have it here, but it was something like, and it might have been like boot file not found.
Okay.
So right away I'm thinking something with the master boot record and something with a problem when it's booting up. I did all the stuff. I ran MHDD on it, and the hard drive had no errors. That was fine. I did mem test. The memory showed no errors, so that all seemed fine. So I tried to, it was a Windows Vista machine. So I tried to reinstall, do a repair with Windows Vista. It would get partway through and the computer would lock up and it would stop.
What software did you say you tried to run on the hard drive for the hard drive test? Or did you not?
MHDD.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I ran. It showed no errors.
Okay.
And I think it might have been a Seagate, so I might have ran C-Tools on it too, because it was really, the thing was really, I was really perplexed on what was causing
this. Right. Okay.
So the next thing I did was I backed the stuff up for them that they wanted, and I decided to do a clean install. So basically what I did was I put the disk in, told it to do the format beforehand, and reinstall. Mm-hmm. It started reinstalling, and it locked up.
What, locked so, up, stopped, or locked up blue screen?
Yep.
Just stopped.
Locked up, stopped. Yes, not a blue screen, just stopped. So I rebooted it and tried it again. It still didn't work. So basically what I decided was, and it was an HP. So it had the recovery partition on the hard drive. Well, at this point, I didn't care. I formatted the whole hard drive, reformatted it, and put a fresh install of Windows Vista on it. I started installing it. It locked up.
Right.
So now, you know, I'm looking at hardware. But hardware made no sense, because when I ran it, when the computer was running, when I ran it in safe mode, it continued to run. It wasn't really a problem.
I'm guessing a bad Vista disk, but keep going.
No, because it was my Vista disk, and I have two or three of them, so I actually tried different ones.
Okay.
So I was thinking that too. So I took that and let's see, I tried to install the Vista again. It wouldn't do that.
Is it hanging up at the same place?
It may have like twice, but then no, it would just decide to quit at whatever point.
And is it HP DV6000 or?
It was a desktop, and I honestly
desktop.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember what model it was. So I tried to, I reformatted. I tried to put the Windows Vista install in to get so far, and it would lock. So then what I decided to do was I thought, even though it said the memory wasn't bad, I'll start pulling stuff because, you know, I'm thinking hardware now, mm-hmm. because the software certainly isn't installing.
Right.
So I pulled the memory stick. and it actually booted up and it actually installed Windows Vista, even though it didn't say that the stick was bad. So it went all through and I got that all installed, and I actually put their stuff back on, and then, and it seemed to be the stick of memory.
Right.
They just called me a day ago, and I had it sitting on my bench running and doing updates and all that for probably 10 hours at least, you know, just because I don't like to send it back unless I'm sure I found everything.
Right.
So they just called me and they said, we turned it on. It was running when we left the house. It was doing the updates. And they said, when we came back, he said it was making a whistling or whirring noise when they came back, and it was locked. So now I don't know. It could be a different problem. It could be that the fan locked up and the CPU overheated that it locked up. I mean,
was it free of dust and clean?
Yeah, I blew all the stuff out. Yep.
I would switch out the other stick of RAM.
Well, I thought of that too. I thought about switching out the other stick of RAM when I get it back. I don't think I pulled the CPU, because I have pulled CPUs when I had that problem. Reinsert them, repaste them, and put them back on. And, you know, but other than that, and like I said, and he said it was like a whistling. He said like a squealing. And I'm just thinking the CPU fan locked up, even though I blew it out and stuff. I don't know. I didn't get it back yet. I didn't get it back.
I'd definitely reseat the CPU. But I mean, if that wasn't seated properly or something was messed up and it overheated, it would just turn off. It wouldn't keep running. It would overheat and turn off. So But I would definitely do that. Just reseat the CPU just for good measure. I'm still guessing RAM, but let me know.
But two sticks of RAM being bad. I mean, it has happened. I have seen it happen, but that, you know, I had it happen one time where two sticks were bad. And that was the other one I was talking about that was actually giving me this same error. And I ended up replacing both sticks of memory and it ran fine.
How about the caps, Mike? Were they blown? You check the caps?
I glanced over them, but I didn't look at them that close.
How old is the computer?
It's probably 5 years old.
Oh, I would check the cap. I bet you it's caps.
Well, no, wait a minute. No, it can't be. I'm sorry, because it's Vista. So what are we looking at? 07?
It still could be caps. It could possibly.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
one. I probably did glance at them, though, when I was blowing it out. I don't remember, because normally I do. You know, I do a quick check, but I don't. Well, hey, once I put the memory in and it loaded and it worked for 10 hours, it's like, I'm golden. I'm good.
I would have thought so, too. Let me tell you some suggestions from the chat room here. We got Jerry saying bad motherboard, or is it a bad power supply? Scott D.E. is saying, is it a bad Northbridge?
Well, I don't think it would be a bad power supply, because the computer stays on. It just locks. So unless it could be a lack of power. I don't know. I thought of that, too, but I don't know if that's something, you know, normal.
And then Rolo's saying it could be the hard drive. It still got a couple options now back in your face, because it's just happening again. But
right. Well, and that's what I said. And I was going to take the hard drive out and just, and I do this sometimes just to make sure, install it on a known good drive and just let it run. You know, but like I said, this thing ran for 12 hours.
Oh, yeah. No,
I give it back to the customer. It's like, son of a, you know, what the heck? So
hate when that happens.
Yep.
Okay.
But, okay. Also, one of the other things, and this is like pretty common stuff that I'm sure everybody sees, but this is what I've been getting in. The other one was, I got one and the lady told me that the computer was running slow. She said her son, 8 years old, was on it playing his games and this and that. So, you know, I figured it's all gunked up with just everything, you know, you just do a good clean out on it and that would help. Well, I got it here and I started looking at it. And the thing is taking forever to boot. It's a Windows XP machine. It's a Dell. It has 512 memory in it. And it's taking forever to boot. Well, all of a sudden, I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Norton comes on for antivirus. McAfee comes on for antivirus. And Microsoft Security Essentials comes on.
That's so awesome.
So, you know, it's like I went, well, I think if I eliminate a few of these, it's probably going to help. So I'm still working on that one, but it is already faster just by getting rid of, you know, two of the antiviruses, so they're not fighting one another.
Which ones did you get rid of?
Well, the reason I don't normally keep Norton, but she has, it's the Norton and it's a corporate edition. So it's one of those that'll update forever, supposedly. So I kept that on for. I said, that's good. Probably the best bet.
That's cool.
So that's what I went with.
Nice.
And one of the other ones, this is sort of one of my favorite stories. A gentleman called me and he had a Mac, and my area has dial up. So the reason he actually called me, the main reason was, he says, I want to install, I got a USB modem and I want my Mac to be on dial up. He said, I'm having a problem doing it. I said, okay. So I'm there and I'm doing that for him. He says, while you're here, he says, I have a printer. He says, I went to print out an airplane ticket with this thing a while ago. He said, it printed out, but I kept having problems printing this airplane ticket out. So he said, and I forget exactly where he was at, but he said to me, he says, would you look at it and see what the problem is? I says, okay. I said, no problem. So one of the first things I did was I looked at it, and of course it wasn't printing correctly. And what he said to me was, he said, what I don't understand, he says, is every time I go to print this airline ticket out, or he says, every time I go to try and print something out, he says, I see this airline ticket come printing too. And I'm going like, that's strange. They're both showing up on the page. Yep, they're both showing up on the page. I said, okay, so how many things have you tried to print? He says, five, six. I says, that's really odd. I says, because I've never, ever seen that.
So he tried to print the ticket out and it never printed, but every time he tries to print something out, the ticket comes with it?
Yeah, the ticket didn't print out correctly when he was trying to print.
Okay.
Right? So he was getting some sort of printout.
Okay.
So then he says, now he's trying to print something. He says he always sees this ticket in the background.
You mean on the same page?
On every paper that he, on every paper, right, that he prints, he sees this ticket and he's, he sees the ticket in the background. I'm great. Like, okay. So I'm going like, I have no idea. And I don't know if I reinstalled the software. It's been a while and I don't remember if I reinstalled the software or not. And I said to him, I says, you put new paper in, right? Yep. I put, wait, let me look. He had printed out about 20 tickets he tried to print out, shoved the paper back in, and every time he was printing another job, he was printing over his paper.
Oh, man. That's so bad.
And I said to him, I said, you see this? And he goes like, I can't believe I did that.
At least he said that, because that was a doofus move.
It was, but I guess, and the other thing is, what I found with customers is, you can't always trust what they're telling
you. Right.
I had never seen that before, and the first thing I should have did was pulled the paper out and looked at it. But he's telling me, I put new paper in. Okay, fine. So we'll go ahead.
Yeah, at least you didn't spend days on it before checking the paper.
Well, no, I didn't. I mean, it didn't take me too long. I'm going like, this is just way too weird for stuck in the cache, that it keeps
in the background. But, I mean, that's just weird.
Yeah. It was so
nice.
And one of the other ones that I think I have figured out. Some of these are still open. There's some things I've been working on.
Okay.
But the other one is, it's a gentleman who has a cradle point router like I had talked about, and he's using the Verizon USB to route his signal.
Okay.
And he was having issues with it, and mine works good. I mean, mine worked flawlessly with my BlackBerry and the USB. So of course, I talked, I didn't really talk to him. I said, here's your option. So he decided to buy it. So of course, when he bought it, his wouldn't work right.
Right.
So I went and I did all the updates to the router that, you talk about and this and that. And made sure everything was up to date. And what he said was happening was his home computer was hooked up to it, with the Ethernet cord. Okay, it was plugged directly into the router.
Right.
Then he also had another cord Ethernet running out to his garage.
Right.
Which is roughly, I want to say 150 yards away.
Yards?
I'm sorry, feet.
Okay.
Feet. I'm getting my measurements. Keep an eye, keep a check on
I
me
am.
Here. Anyhow, feet. So I hooked it up and it worked, but then he started having problems with the home computer when I hooked it up. Well, the onboard network card went in it. So I had built the computer and it was about a year old. I says, well, okay, that's fine. So I put another network card in. That network card worked, but then the home computer was acting sort of goofy. It took me a little while to figure it out. When I finally put the third network card in it, he has the wire running underground through a pipe with other wire.
Yeah.
He had the original garage, when he had it hooked up, burnt down. So basically what I'm thinking happened is the water and all this crud got in the piping, and there's something wrong with the cable, because once I unhooked that and left it off, the router worked perfectly and the home computer worked perfectly. So now I got to get back and put, he wants to run wire underground again, but he's going to get the regular underground wire to do it with.
Is he going to pay you to run the wire per hour?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's a do-it-yourselfer, so he'll probably run it.
Okay.
You know, if he's going to run underground, I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Right.
You know, because he's probably going to have to fish it through and all that. So I'm just gonna let him do that, and I'm gonna keep out of that part of it. But it sort of makes sense to me. That's why the computer in the house didn't work, and that's why that one kept blowing the cards out, because it's getting a short.
Right.
And now that it's not hooked up, everything's working fine.
Nice. So good troubleshooting.
I'll tell you what, it can be a pain. But
these are oddball jobs. I like these.
Well, you know, and the thing is, it's like I hear some of the other techs talk, and they talk about doing, you know, the remote service to be able to fix computers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the jobs that I get into, because I do almost anything, 90% of them, there's no way I could do it remotely, because the computers are so screwed up, or it's just something so odd, or my customer's on dial-up. It's just, you name it. There's very few that I could actually go in and actually do that way.
Almost none of the ones that you just mentioned you could.
Right. I mean, and most of them are like that. I mean, yeah. And I don't know if the people are that savvy, but when they call me, I mean, it's usually a real mess that I get myself into.
That's why they're calling you.
Exactly. But one of the other things I just want to back for a minute. One of the other things I wanted to mention was at CES, the one thing that I found interesting was they had SSD drives there, and they were showing them. And this is sort of specific to me and anybody else who has a Mac, but they were showing me the SSD drives on a Mac compared to Mayan, which Mayan isn't even a SATA drive in my era. The early Macs, the first generation like Mayan, had an 80 gigabyte in it with goofy pins that nobody else really makes.
Was your Air an SSD, your original Air? Was it
no?
Okay, good, good.
No, that's
you could have got the Air with SSD. It was like $1,000 more.
No, well, yes, you're right. I could have, and I didn't on the first generation.
Good, you got the you got a drive, and it wasn't a SATA drive.
This is not because what it says is that the place. If anybody's interested, if you want to look at the stuff, I thought it was pretty cool. I think it's OWC, I think it's Otherworld Computing, and they have these SSD drives. But what was cool, and I was going to buy one, even though they were rather expensive, rather than buying a new Air, because I love mine. Mine has the backlit keyboard and stuff, and the new ones don't. So, I mean, it's little stuff, but I just like mine.
Sure.
So, with some of the stuff it has.
Right.
But I was going to put that in, but mine has that goofy hookup that these won't hook up to. The drive on mine has a goofy connector
right.
that these drives won't hook up to. But one of the things, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've ever used SSD drive on anything. The difference that he showed me with a computer like mine, but it had SATA, okay? And these SSD drives was amazing in the boot up time.
Really?
I mean, it was... He told me, it was funny because he told me he's sitting there, and actually I told him, I got his name and number. I told him he should come on the show maybe and talk about some of the stuff that he does with these drives
sure.
and what they have.
Sure.
He actually had two of them sitting side by side, one with their drive in and one with the stock Mac drive in. And he booted them up at the same time. He goes, now watch. He goes, this one will be booted up. He says, this one will be, the regular Mac will be in the process of booting up. The other one will be booted up and open, have three Adobe programs open before this one ever even gets to the screen to you know, to start.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, it did. It was amazing in the difference of boot up time.
You mean, and they were both SSDs? Or
yes, the ones that they make are SSD, but they're, if I'm not mistaken, they're their brand of SSD drives.
It wasn't OCZ.
Nope, it's Otherworld Computing, OWC, I think.
Oh, Otherworld Computing. Got to check that out. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I was really impressed, but and I can actually like I said, I wrote it down, but I have OCW, but I think it's Otherworld Computing. And if you look up Mac SSD drives, I think it'll actually come up in the Google search. They're pretty high on the list there.
Oh yeah, I see him. We got him.
But that was pretty interesting. Yep, that's the one. Sweet. And I don't know if you can type in for the Mac Air, but anyhow. And they are expensive. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, like I said, rather than me buying a new Air because, you know, I like mine, it would have been worth putting a drive in. So.
Absolutely. Very cool. I'll putz around on here.
Okay. I'll actually email you the exact link that takes you right to the one. Well, you don't have an Air, but it's for the Pro and stuff too. So,
oh,
which
cool.
is cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sweet. Thanks, Mike.
And I guess one of the other things I'm about done here. One of the other things I'd like to mention is I'm going to actually be going out of business at the end of March. After all these neat jobs I talked to you about, I just decided that I have a full-time job and I'm just not going to do the computer repair anymore. It's getting to be too much. So
if you put it in perspective, you have a full-time job. You're doing this by choice. Too much,
yes.
You know, means like you obviously have business. So it's not like
yes.
it's not like you're failing. I want to make that clear.
This is my and I think you and I have talked a little bit, but I work swing shift. I work, 12-hour day when I do work. When I have overtime, it's 16-hour days. The only thing I'm and yes, I do have the business, and that's sort of the problem because my days off, the only thing I'm doing is working on computer jobs.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if it's not, I have a decent job, so it doesn't make sense to quit that job, you know, to do the computer work full time. But if I come to the point where I retire, and it's the only thing I have to do, I would definitely think about getting back into it.
Cool.
And sort of like you, when you sold your shop, I have some other ideas of some things I'd like to do computer oriented. So
go for it. I think that's awesome.
Yep.
All right, and so that being said, you had an announcement.
Basically, I have some, and it's new old stock. I have some older motherboards, memory, a lot of stuff. Well, not a lot of stuff, but stuff I want to get rid of, and I have some used stuff. If anybody would like to know what I have, I can give you a list. I actually just did inventory for my taxes, so I have a pretty up-to-date list of what I have. But if anybody's interested, I also have some used stuff, some used motherboards and this and that, and if people would let me know if they're interested, you know, I'd be happy to get rid of the stuff, sell it, you know, cheap, whatever. I'm just gonna clear everything out.
How should they contact you?
Twitter is MFLSTC if somebody wants to get a hold of me there. Or Mike at mflstccomputer.com or mflstc@gmail.com.
There you go. All right.
Oh, you know what I just noticed too, Steve?
Yes.
I need another C in my MFLSTC.
No, it's there. It's in the one's uppercase, one's lowercase.
Oh, lowercase. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's not my fault you created a crazy name for your business.
Yeah, well, see, that's another reason I'm going out of business.
I'm just kidding with you, Mike.
But you know what though? It's always given you something to talk about. There's no doubt about it.
It definitely has. I have to admit. All right. Should I go over to emails, or you want to have anything else?
I'm good if you are. That's cool.
All right. Let's do some emails here, and we've got some voicemails too. First email is from Tom. He says, "Hey there, Steve. Just wanted to say that." Oh, gosh. I don't purposely read the glowing reviews that people give us, but when it is just part of the email, I will read it. So not tooting our own horns here, but Tom says, "Hey there, Steve. First, just wanted to say that in my opinion, you have the best group of tech podcasts, bar none. I've listened to tons of other tech podcasts, and none even come close to containing the fantastic content that yours provide. Sorry, other guys. Keep trying." Words from Tom. I didn't write that. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, beep, 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 buddy. Beep, beep. That's what I can say. Blow your horn. Go ahead. That's fine.
Thanks. And thank you for everybody who contributes to this. Anyway, he goes on to say, anyhow, the real reason for the email is I found a website that may be of interest to the Podnuts community. It's a site that lists all of the USB flash drives that have the hardware write blocking switch and where you can purchase them. I know I heard on the shows a few times that they're a little rough to track down, so I hope this helps. The link to the site is tinyurl.com/2W8NU7V. tinyurl.com/2W8NU7V. And I'm going to go to the site so the guys on video could at least check it out. It's from fencepost.net. Fencepost.net. Fencepost Software and Consulting is the site. And the title of the article there is List of USB Flash Drives with Hardware Write Protection. Gives a full list. Nice. Look at all that. Sweetness. Thank you, Tom. Beautiful. So if anybody didn't catch the tiny URL, you just go to fencepost.net. And I'll look for list of USB flash drives with hardware write protection. It's an article. Awesome. I think that's a great link, man. Thanks. All right. Next email is from a person, which I will read. Here we go. Andrew. Andrew says, heard Nuts at Night and wanted to comment on Geek Squad prices. Steve D'Amico was right. Even the great Micro Center does this. We're talking about charging high prices on a computer repair. We were talking on Nuts at Night, having a field day with the rates that they charge. And that's why Andrew's writing this. He says, I can remember countless times I brought customers into the store and the salespeople wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. As most of my customers were smart enough not to buy any of the attachments, the salesperson would not even get commission, be told by the manager it was a bad sale. I don't know if you want me to read this, Andrew. Anyway, let me just say this. After reading Andrew's email, if you do go to a store and they know you and you're usually the kind of person that when you go to buy a computer from that store and they ask you, do you want to buy more RAM? You say no. You want to buy an extra battery? No. Do you want to buy the protection plan? No. Do you want to buy antivirus? No. They're probably not. That salesman's probably not going to want to talk to you next time you go in the store. And I've experienced this many times. This is my personal experience. When I went to Micro Center back in Philly, those guys literally would not touch me with a 10-foot pole. And I couldn't understand why until I read this email here. So thanks, Andrew, for the heads up. So don't feel bad, guys. It's not you. It's salesmen wanting commission. So a lot of those stores charge crazy high prices for service. Most of the time, their computers are pretty fairly priced because they're such big entities. They get great deals on computers, so they kind of try to dump them. But if you're the kind of person that doesn't buy all the extras, they're not making any money. So you got to, you know, you're kind of like taking advantage of the deal. Are anything to add so far, Mike, or?
Nope.
Okay, let me play a voicemail here. This is from, I think, a new person. Not sure. Here we go.
Steve, hey, this is Alan Nation up here in Seattle. Just calling to let you know about an experience I had with Windows Live. I went to put my daughter, set up an account for her because she's doing papers and stuff at school. And I thought I would make her account and then have it connected to mine. Well, I set her up. She's 11 years old, so I put in her real age, and Windows said, okay, we need to have an adult verify your age. So I put in my account, and then Microsoft wants me to put in a credit card to prove I'm an adult. And when I do that, they want to charge 50 cents per proving adulthood. So I just want to let you know, if anybody out there is going to do that for their kids, just put in a fake age. And that way, you don't have to mess with Microsoft getting your credit card. Thanks for all the great shows, Steve. And I look forward to next week. Bye.
Nice. That was Alan. Alan has called before. Thanks for the voicemail. That's awesome. So Microsoft, if you go to add, it looks like an add account to Microsoft, to Windows Live, and you put in underage person, Microsoft will prompt you to prove that you're an adult, take your want your credit card, and charge it 50 cents just for being an adult, to prove, for proof. So it's a good, I think it's a good advice of what he said, just fake the age. I don't know. Sounds good to me. Thanks for the voicemail. Next one is from Cam. He says, hey, Steve, I discovered Podnuts recently. I love the repair videos. Great stuff. I am plowing my way through the back episodes of Daily, and I wanted to comment on the show about capacitors. I love replacing caps. Easy deal, as long as you get positive and negative correct. Early on, I put one in backwards, and I learned firsthand how to spot a blown cap, and it blew with a bang. I do quite a bit of monitor repair, and I've done many cap replacements. I want to share a site for cap info, badcaps.net. He said it's a good forum, good bunch of people, good info on caps and other electronics. I get my caps and other electronic parts from Mouser Electronics, M-O-U-S-E-R. Decent prices, all makes, models, sizes. Thanks for all you're doing. I love it. That's from Cameron, a.k.a. Rock Tech. Thank you, Cameron, very much. Great sites, badcaps.net, mouser.com. Check them out, guys. Next email is from Steve. He says, hey, Steve, here is a made-to-order sandboxed browser for Windows for our Podnuts followers to use. It is a totally it's totally sandboxed, like the setup that Dor uses for his customers, in a simple to download and install program. It uses Firefox for a base and was created by Dell. It's called Kace, K-A-C-E. Here is the link and a video showing it. P.S. Thanks for all your work. Keep making the shows. Love the new Podnuts Pro. You three have a good chemistry. Oh, cool. Thanks, Steve. Podnuts Pro will be on tomorrow, guys, for all you wondering. Here's the link. It's Kace.com, K-A-C-E, /products, /free tools, /secure-browser. And I'm going to Kace that right now. Let's check out this video. I'll show you on the guys watching. So it looks like Kace is a site from Dell, secure browser. The secure browser uses virtualization technology. Oops. Virtualization technology to provide a safer web browsing experience to users and organizations. When using the secure browser, any changes or malicious files inadvertently downloaded from the internet are contained within the secure browser, keeping the underlying OS and computer protected from hostile changes. Any changes resulting from browser activity may be quickly and easily reset to effectively undo such changes and return it to its initially installed state. All right, let's look at the cool video. Where's the cool video? Product demonstration video. Let's see what happens here. It's loading.
Hello, my name is Bob Kelly. I'm a senior product manager at Dell Kace, and I'm excited to tell you today about the Dell Kace Secure Browser. So, a quick comment on why we've done this.
Okay, that looks like it's going to be kind of long. I urge you guys to check it out, though. If you just go to Kace.com, K-A-C-E, it's kace.com/products/free tools/secure-browser, and you can check it out there, watch the video, do whatever you want with it. That's from Steve-O. Thank you, Steve-O, very much. Good link. I'll check it out after the show, but it looked like that guy was going to talk long and boring about it for a couple minutes. We'll address it later. All right, what else do we got here? More emails. From another one from Andrew. Hey, Steve, I thought this might be cool to check out or mention on a show. Let's see what this is. I didn't even look at this yet. Let me proofread this.
He should be fixing a faulty laptop instead. This computer repair man is
trying to... Actually, I did watch this. It's pretty cool. All right, this is from Andrew. Let's check out this video. This looks pretty cool.
He should be fixing a faulty laptop instead. This computer repair man is trying to hack into a customer's online bank account. What he doesn't know is that we're secretly recording his every move. It was just one of numerous abuses our investigation uncovered. The most serious breaches were here at Laptop Revival in West London.
My laptop isn't switching on at all. And I've never had a problem with it before.
Earlier, we'd loosened a memory chip to create a simple problem easily fixed.
If you're a PC technician, it'd be one of the first things you'd check if your machine's not booting up properly.
The very latest surveillance technology was used to keep track of our laptop, special software activated an onboard camera, while at the same time recording every keystroke entered, so we could see in real time what the repairman was looking at. Minutes after powering up our faulty computer, the engineer at Laptop Revival spotted the loose memory chip and clicked it back in. Yet his colleague told us the motherboard was faulty and needed replacing at a cost of £100.
The machine's clearly fixed. He's now obviously looking at very sensitive files in a folder marked private. That folder clearly wasn't even password protected, which would have been enough for idle curiosity. I think we'll see, yeah. So now he's actually showing it to his colleagues as well.
Later, another engineer powers up the laptop and finds login details for Facebook and Hotmail accounts.
The tracking software is telling us that we've now installed a memory stick and they're starting to copy files over. We can see they're going to a file called Mama Jammers. Now, the loss of images obviously is concerning. The really concerning thing for me, though, is we're seeing a plain text file with login credentials for things, including bank account details.
Indeed, the engineer only fails to log into the online account because the details here are made up.
Clearly, what you've shown suggests there is a much wider problem in the industry than we knew about, simply because people don't know it for themselves, so they're not reporting it to us. I think based on what we've seen and the range of problems that you've identified to us, it does suggest that we do need to be carrying out the same sort of exercise as you carried out.
Off the other repair shops we visited, an engineer at Digitech also accessed private files, but said they were only trying to check the memory. PC World wrongly told us we'd have to replace a faulty motherboard. We paid them £230, but when the laptop was returned, the original motherboard was still in place. They've apologised and refunded our money. Micro and Vika charged us £145 for a full examination after they'd already fixed the problem. They said it was a misunderstanding and also refunded our money. Innova Computers wanted to replace the motherboard. When we declined, they returned our machine with apparent solder damage to the memory chip.
Oh my
They've
God.
Denied any wrongdoing. Back at Laptop Revival, we confronted them with our findings.
You can ask us not to film, but we feel it's in the public interest to film you.
Please, not film at the moment.
Yeah.
We agree if I let him, he can do it. Please stop it.
The trade body representing many of the country's computer repair shops has now suspended Laptop Revival from its association pending an investigation. Staff at the West London repair shop have denied any knowledge of the alleged abuses. Mark White, Sky News.
SkyNews.com. You know, I don't know when that is from. It seems familiar. Let's see. Anyway,
you know, that's a good subject if you ever get the great tech debate back is, you know, should, and I think it's been talked about before, but should a computer repair person have to have certain credentials to repair computers, you know, or some kind of certification or something? Because, you know, people like that, how many of them are out there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a difference, I guess, between somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing and somebody who's just a plain criminal like those guys. You know?
Well, yeah, but, I agree. And I mean, I don't know. That's why I said it's up to debate. You know, would having credentials make them honest? I mean, either you're honest or you're not, you know, I mean, with right. what you're doing.
You mean if the credentials, I mean, for fear of losing them, they might be honest?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Like if what they were saying there, I didn't even hear it said what whoever was thinking of looking into them or whatever. Well, if you have no credentials, no fear of losing anything, what's going to happen? You change your name, you move somewhere else, and you
right,
know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Could it be a civil suit? If you could probably still get those guys on some kind of charges.
Well, you probably could, but the thing is, you know, they're going to be able to turn around, and go right back in business, or remain in business.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. You know what, honestly, just in my gut, I hope it doesn't become regulated, but...
Well, that's why I said it's up to debate, because, it's me, I really don't either, but, you know, you see stuff like that, and it's sort of, you know, it's sad in a way
that
people do that and get away with that. I mean, I couldn't even see myself doing that.
No, probably nobody listening to Podness would do that. I hope not, guys. No, if you do, you better not.
Stop it.
Stop. Stop right now. That was on wimp.com, wimp.com/laptop repaired, if you guys want to check out that video again. Thanks, Andrew, for that. Interesting subject. I just wanted to punch that guy in the face, the guy that was laughing in that video.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Well, how much time we got? 1 hour. Okay, let me just do the last two emails here real quick, and we will be done. This is from JV Computers. He says, was listening to Podness Daily 248, and you said that you built a website for LCD replacement for laptops only, which, of course, would be a national service. Which of course would be a national service using mail. He's talking about the business I tried to start, where I put up a website that I was a laptop repair screen replacement dude, and you should send your laptops to me, and I'll fix your screens. And he goes on to say, then you said that it did not work out very well because of the mail. I'm curious because I'm planning to advertise next month, and I want to offer laptop repair service by mail, but I'm skeptical of this service. Any suggestions would really be appreciated. Thanks, Steve. Take care. Great shows, by the way. JV, the problem I don't know if I gave it an honest shot. I put up a site that said I do laptop screen replacements. People were calling my shop. I did get people calling, but I never got one person to send me one. And I probably talked to maybe 4 or 5 people. It's something you really have to iron out exact structure and detail. And if you could relate to the person that their computer is going to be safe and you have a really good way of doing this, I think the business can work. I didn't really give it a shot. I tried it for some extra money. I was already doing well in the shop. So when people started not sending me their laptops, I didn't really pursue it and iron out the bugs. But I think it's workable because there's companies that do it. If you could establish yourself as very reputable, have a professional looking site, and communicate to the person when they call somehow that you got this, you know, you guys are legit, your line's safe, and gain their trust that they'll send you the laptop, they probably will. So
I think there's a place online, and I'm not sure, I think it's called Laptop Garage. And I think they do that, but it's like you said, they have a set structure. You're going to pay this much for shipping, blah, 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 you know, and this is how we package it and the whole thing, you know.
Let me check it out. Laptop Garage.
I think it's Laptop Garage.
I know I've seen them too. I've seen these sites too. No, that's in Spanish and they're selling laptops, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen that site.
Maybe they're out of business
yeah,
too.
Could be.
Laptops are so cheap. I mean, you tell somebody, you know, it's hard to tell somebody I'm going to charge you, you know, somebody asked me about putting a screen in and I said, sure. I said, you know, till I figured up the price of the screen I saw on eBay and it was a used one. And then I've had problems when I've gotten those already because if it wasn't somebody reputable. You know, and I told him, I says, you know, you're looking at about $190 till I buy it and put it in and all this and that. Well, I just bought a brand new laptop with, 3 gigabytes of memory, a 250 gigabyte hard drive. I forget what brand it was for $250 brand new, you know? So it's like, do you really want to do that?
I know, Mike, that's a special case, really. I mean, I stopped assuming for the customer a long time ago. If they say if they come in and they say they want it fixed, I give them a price when I had my shop, I'd give them a price without any hesitation, and they would tell me if they wanted it fixed. I found that even though, because I've tried to tell customers, I'm like, look, you can buy laptops so cheap now, they still want theirs fixed. So that told me something, that they're attached to their laptop, there's some type of sentimental value, and they just want it fixed, and that we shouldn't assume that since we know the prices of laptops these days, and can even tell customers the prices of laptops these days, don't assume that they don't want theirs fixed, even if it's a piece of crap. It's amazing what people have done to get their computers fixed.
What is that? That's the Chris Berry business way, right?
No,
I'm not saying it bad. I'm just saying if they come in and they say they want it fixed, you give them the price, that's what he does.
Yes.
I'm saying it in a good way.
Okay.
I'm not saying,
okay.
No. Sorry, I wasn't. Chris. No, I wasn't cutting him down at all. I'm just saying that he goes in, he tells them, you know, it's like, you know, that's what you do. I just, and actually I have one sitting right next to me here. And I just told the guy that he's actually a friend of mine. And I said, I'll fix it. But do you put memory in and I clean it? You know, you're going to have X amount. And I said, maybe you want to think of a new one. Then I got to go through and put all my crap back on again. And I just, you know, unless it's going to be a couple $100, fix that one. So, I mean, it's case in point there.
Yeah.
You know, it's, he doesn't want to mess around with backing stuff up and all that.
Right. And I guess you could sell them. You could have laptops in stock like Chris does too, and sell the new laptops if needed.
Yeah. But I did that too, but that's a pain too.
I guess it depends how much inventory you can get, if you got the prices you could get it at.
You have to get the price right, yeah, and stuff like that. And you have to have somebody that, if you do get one back under warranty, you know, the customer comes back to you and wants you to do it, you know, because something happened to it.
Yeah.
When it's still under warranty, you know, and they expect you to take care of it. And it's just, it was a hassle.
I know. I didn't sell them. I didn't sell new ones either. But there's ways to attack it, I think, that would be really profitable. I think, like, another thing Chris does is he opens them up, optimizes them, gets all the crapware off, and sells them as, the premium for that, for doing that, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's what I was saying about it. I actually like the way he's yeah, straightforward, and he does it. I mean, yeah, he's a businessman. I wish I could be more like him sometimes.
I think a lot of us do.
You know, yeah, it's just he has a very good philosophy. I agree.
All right, let's stop giving him such a big head. It's already big enough as it is. All right, let me read another email here, and then we'll end off. This is from Susan. I think this is a long one. It's pretty long. This will be the last one. Hey, Steve, I was listening to Podnuts Daily, episode number 294, and I wanted to make a few comments. Adam said that he is now performing more system restores instead of spending hours troubleshooting the problems. Well, I absolutely agree with him. I do more system restores than anything else. I've spent my time trying to clean virus-laden PCs and laptops, only for them to come back to me, and I end up performing a system restore anyway. I'm not sure if he means system restore, Sue, or reinstall. But I'll keep reading and maybe we'll get it cleared up. I truly believe this is the only way to get rid of any type of infection, whether it be a virus, spyware, or malware. I know there are many techies out there that would disagree with me, but I've spent more time trying to clean machine than I have doing a system restore. I wanted to thank Adam for mentioning WSOS offline update, as I've never heard of it before, and it will save me a lot of time in the future. Okay, I'm pretty sure I've used system restore, and I love the tool. But I'm not sure if you mean that, Sue, or just doing a reinstall. I would always try system restore first. That failing, if the computer's still botched up, do a reinstall. But I get your drift either way. Next, she says, I wanted to mention something I recently learned. Since I do so many system restores, there are times I come across an unknown device in the device manager. Okay, she must mean a reinstall then. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what these unknown devices are. But now I don't have to. There's an article on Technible that will walk you through how to identify these devices in a few clicks. Here's the link, technible.com/PCI database-repair-tool-of-the-week. Just go to Technible. You'll see it. Repair tool of the week. It's called PCI database. What it basically does is have you go to the details tab of the device and change the drop-down box to hardware IDs. You can then decipher what the device is and its manufacturer. Then you can do a Google search with this information and find a driver for it. I've already used it several times and it saved me a lot of time. On another note, do you think you'll ever get women's size t-shirts? I understand that I'm a minority when it comes to this field, but I still like to show off my geekiness and wear the clothing sometimes. And I'm sure I'm not the only woman that listens to your show. You might be, Sue. Maybe one other one. And I would appreciate if you got some smaller sizes. I thoroughly enjoy your shows. I wanted to tell you that I think you're doing a great job. Actually, I only listen to your shows now, and I stopped listening to Leo. I love the guys in the forums, too. They've helped me out more than once. Keep up the good work. That's from Sue from Computer Solutions. Get it? I like that, Sue. Computer Solutions. Spelled with a Sue. S-U-E. Pretty cool.
That ain't MFLSTC.
That's not MFLSTC. Muffled from Computer Repair. Sue, as far as the t-shirts, I think I'm going to be using a service. I signed up for a Zazzle account. I'm probably not going to be doing the printing on the shirts on my end anymore. Maybe I'll ask Mike how to get good shirts. I opened up a Zazzle account. I'm probably going to have them do the merchandising, them or a cafe press type of place, at which point we'll have tons of women's shirts available. So I'll keep you posted on that. I'll keep everybody posted on that. And if you are women listening to the show, I appreciate it, and I'll try to get you clothing. Thank you very much for the tips, Sue, also, as well. Totally appreciate it and glad you're liking the shows. I always do. I always get a kick out of I'm listening to your shows more than Leo's shows. So that, I just so you know, I really do appreciate that. All right. Two Google voicemails. Let's play them tomorrow on the next, or the next week if I can. Just running out of time here, but thank you for sending us voicemails and emails. If anybody else wants to send a voicemail or email, you could email me at mail@podnuts.com. Super easy. mail@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, which I enjoy playing, call us at 7076-PODNUT. 7076-PODNUT on a regular phone, and that ought to do it. Mike, I want to appreciate you for coming on the show, man. It was awesome.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
Cool. Coming on in the future, right? Even though you might not be doing the computer anymore.
If I have something to talk about, I'd love to be on.
Awesome. Well, it was great. I appreciate you coming on. And if people want to contact you again, Mike, where can they find you?
The easiest way is MFLSTC on Twitter or MFLSTC@gmail.com. I have a website. There's not much there, and I don't know how much longer I'll have that since I don't have the business.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again. Thank you also, everybody who's watching, listening, streaming. Stay tuned for Linux for the Rest of Us. It's coming up in a few minutes. Talk to you later. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.